Hi, I'm Frank, and I'm the pastor of Real Life Church in beautiful Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. My life wasn't always like this. Years ago, I was a hard-living, unsaved young archaeologist living in Jerusalem, Israel. Everything was going well for me, and I was very successful, but unhappy and unfulfilled on the inside. Here I was, excavating the Bible, specifically palaces and fortresses of King Herod the Great. I was walking in the footsteps of Jesus, but I didn't know Jesus. However, everything changed the day I asked the Lord into my life. And now, I invite you to go on the journey with me as we study the Word of God with insight and revelation drawn from the years that I spent as an archaeologist in Israel. Welcome to Real Life Radio, where we apply God's Word to our real lives.
Tonight's message is called, What Faith Is. You know, when I do a What Something Is message, I always start by what it's not. And faith is not a religion. I know you might say, well, what do you mean? Well, people, it's a common, well, what faith are you? That's a very common phrase, a common question. What faith are you? Faith is not a religion. What they're asking is, what religion are you? Faith is not a religion. Religion is man-made. Faith is God-made. So faith is not a religion. Faith is not King James. You know, in order to have faith, you don't have to speak in King James English. You don't have to pray in King James English. You don't have to have an affected voice when you pray. And faith is not something that only a certain few possess. That is kind of on the edge in charismatic circles, that there are the superstars of faith and they somehow have this faith that's in a realm above everybody else. No, it's not so. Faith is not something that only a certain few possess. We all have been given a measure of faith. Every single believer has been given a measure of faith. It's up to us to develop it, to grow it, exercise it, and use it. But we must understand what it is. Hebrews 11 says, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the substance of things hoped for. So faith implies hope, or faith requires hope, something you're hoping for. It is the evidence of things not seen. So faith is going to entail something that is in the unseen realm. Something that you need, we need, something we want, but we cannot see it. But somehow we hope for it. And the faith is the evidence that we will have it. It may be a healing, it may be a new job, it may be a new house, it may be a possession of some sort, an answered prayer of some sort. We don't see it. It's not in front of us. We don't have it. We don't possess it physically yet. We're hoping for it. And the evidence that it's ours is faith. Now, to have that kind of faith, it must be based in something. And our faith is based in the Word of God, which never changes, is never altered, which stands forever. Everything else is going to pass away, but the Word of God remains forever. So it's constant. That's why it's the basis of our faith. Now, this first example, Pastor Mary Beth mentioned this probably 6-8 weeks ago, and I said, you know, I'm thinking about it. I'm going to talk about that sometime. And so we're going to be talking about pizza faith. Pizza faith. Now, Alexei has pizza faith 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Whenever I ask the kids, what would you like for dinner? Pizza! We just had pizza yesterday. Oh, we did? Let's have it again. Doesn't matter. He's the pizza man. Anyway, you're at home. You have nothing to eat, or you don't feel like making anything to eat. So somebody has the idea, let's order a pizza. Two ways you can do it. You can go online, your computer, your phone, go online. And you click on the pizza place. Or you pick up your phone and you make a call to the pizza place. You make that call. You do not know who you're talking to. You've never met who you're talking to, and you can't see who you're talking to. You don't know them. You've never met them. You can't see them, but you hear their words. And they tell you that you could have whatever you want on the pizza. And they go through the menu. You can have anchovies on the pizza. You can have sausage. You can have pepperoni. You can have cheese. You can have broccoli. You can have some pizza places have broccoli, I'm sure. Not one that I go to, but you can have hot Italian sauces, you know, on and on. Onions, peppers, mushrooms. But they give you all these choices. They don't tell you, all right, we got one pizza, take it or leave it. They give you the choice. You can tell them whatever you want, but you must speak it to them, either vocally or you speak it to them online, typing it in. In one way or another, you're speaking to them. And you place the order. They tell you it's going to be yours in 30 minutes or less. You're going to have a pizza exactly as you want it. And to this point, you still don't know the person. You don't see the person. You have no history with the person. You don't know anything about them. But somehow you believe that you are going to have a hot pizza exactly how you want it in your hands in 30 minutes. You don't see it, but you believe it. You don't, at that point, prepare dinner, do you? Do you sit down and say, you know what? I'm just not sure about that pizza. I'm just not sure. Now, let me just mention to you, you also placed a tithe with that order. You gave some of your money. You tithe. Now, you didn't expect, did you really expect that pizza was going to come without you tithing? Did you? And did you expect you're going to drop a quarter in the offering basket and get a hot, large, or extra large pizza? No. You paid for that pizza. And you paid someone that you don't know, you don't see, and you don't know whether you can trust them or not. But somehow, you had faith that a pizza was going to come to your door. You don't even have to go pick it up. And of course, you did not start making dinner because you knew a pizza was coming. And the kids say, Mom, I'm hungry. Dad, I'm hungry. Can you make me something? No, not making anything because a pizza is going to materialize out of nowhere. And it's coming right to our door in 30 minutes or less. And so, from that analogy, we discover that 90% of the Christians have more faith in Domino's than they do in God. Because they believe that they're going to get what they want from someone they don't know, never met, and can't see. Delivered to their door exactly how they want it in 30 minutes or less. That's faith. That's an example of faith. Your menu is the Word of God. God's Word has 20,000 promises. You need healing on your pizza? You got healing. You need breakthrough? You got breakthrough. You need a new mate? Not that you already have an old mate you don't like. I'm talking about a mate. You got it. You need a new job? You got it. New house? You got it. Now, you might say, Pastor Frank, give me chapter and verse for the new house. Well, the scripture says you'll abide under your vine and your fig tree, so you got to live outside in your backyard. But other than that, we got you covered. No, he'll give you the desires of your heart, of course. And we abide under the shadow of the Almighty, you know, in the shadow of your house. Dedicate your house to God. Anyway, you get my point. The Word of God is full of promises. Promises that are for us purchased. Jesus paid for your pizza. Jesus paid for whatever you have need of from the Word of God. It's already paid for. But you cannot ask them to put on your pizza what they don't have. If they don't have broccoli, they all have pineapple these days. Because, I don't know, who here likes to have pizza with pineapple on it? Okay, Alex, say, it doesn't count, whatever you say, because it doesn't matter what's on your pizza. As long as it's pizza, you like it. You like pineapple on your pizza? So that you get the Hawaiian pizza? All right. What's the weirdest thing anybody gets on their pizza? And who likes anchovies? What do you like, James? Pineapple. You like pineapple? Anybody get anchovies on their pizza? Let me tell you about pizza in Rome. My mouth is watering thinking about it. It's different from here. It's real different. My favorite was potato. Very thinly sliced potato. Didn't have tomato sauce. Very thinly sliced potato, salted, and with a little bit of rosemary on it. Oh, my goodness. I used to try to go for that every day. Anyway, let's get back to the topic. Don't ask God for something that's not in His Word. You see, the pizza parlor is not going to deliver you a pizza according to what you want. It's according to what they offer. And you need to want what they offer. Yeah, yeah. So it's not like whatever we want, we get because we believe we got faith. No, it's what God is offering. His Word is His will. And when we believe and order, and we don't order God, we place our order through prayer. The phone call is your prayer, right? The menu is the Word of God. The pizza, well, the Spirit of God is kind of like the delivery. He's a conduit from heaven to earth. And the pizza is the promise. So it's got to be in the menu, in the Word of God. And then you receive it. And how can you believe for that pizza from someone that you've never seen, never met, and don't know at all, and you still believe and you give them money? You're giving money to people you don't know. You're willingly putting your credit card out there and giving money to a complete stranger with the promise you're going to get a pizza. And how can we not give our money to God? How can we be stingy at tithing? How can we not believe, well, tithing's not, it's of the Old Testament. It's not for us. I've heard that. And then you believe that pizza's going to be there and you don't have to prepare a meal. You're what? Expecting. You're expecting exactly what you asked for. That's faith. Yeah. If you have faith for a pizza, you've got enough faith for the Word of God. Yeah. If you can order a pizza, you can believe God and pray and receive. It's as simple as that. Let's look at this now. The Word of God says that faith is calling those things that be not as though they are. Calling those things, this is what we're told about Abram, calling those things that be not as though they are. Now, there's a slight twist that people think is faith, and it's not. And that's calling those things that are as if they are not. That's not faith. That would be somebody who's sick saying, I'm not sick. You see, the Word of God doesn't tell us to say, I'm not sick. The Word of God tells us, admit the reality, but project the promise. Yes, I caught something, but I believe I've been healed. It's not I'm not sick, it's I've been healed. That's calling those things that be not as though they are. Not denying what is. We don't call what is as if it's not. Do you understand the difference? Also, the Word of God talks about sowing. And this is a little revelation I got a few weeks ago that I knew sooner or later the Lord was going to work it in. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. Let's go there. Matthew 8. In Matthew 8, we'll start in verse 5. Matthew 8, verse 5. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him. Highly unusual. You've got to, you know, we just read this because we're so familiar with it, but it's highly unusual. The centurions were the oppressing army. The centurion was part of the occupation forces of Rome that were keeping Israel under an iron grip. And yet this man came to Jesus. He did not come in power. He came in prayer, saying, Lord, my servant lies at home, sick and paralyzed and tormented. Jesus said, I'll come heal him. He's not Jewish. But Jesus said, I'll come heal him. Now, the servant probably was Jewish. But we don't know that. But I would think he probably was. But the centurion certainly was not. He was Roman. And the Lord was willing to answer that prayer because he was a man of faith. Look what, you see what happens next. The centurion answers and says, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. Then he goes on to talk about how he's a man under authority, tells people to go, they go, come, they come, because he has 100 men under him. He's a centurion. When Jesus heard this, he said, "Verily, in truth, I say to you, I have not found this kind of faith, such great faith, in anybody in Israel." So he is acknowledging that this Gentile centurion has more faith than anybody he has met in Israel. And what did the centurion say? Speak the word. The centurion had faith in the spoken word of Jesus. The centurion knew that the spoken word of Jesus would convey the power of God and his promises. In 2 Timothy, you don't need to turn. I'm just going to read this to you. 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. Speak the word or preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Again, speak the word. In John, you don't need to turn. John chapter 15. John chapter 15, verse 7. If you abide in me, Jesus speaking, and my words abide in you, you shall ask. Now, ask means speak. That's speak. You shall ask what you will, and it shall be done. It shall be done. So, we have two different things, speaking the word of God and praying the word of God. Speaking the word of God, Jesus put them both together in Mark 11, 23, 24, if you shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in your heart, but believe that those things you say shall come to pass, you shall have whatsoever you say. Therefore, when you pray, believe that you receive those things you ask, and you shall have them. So he connects speaking the word and praying the word. Prior to this, he gives us the parable of the sower. The sower sows the word in the explanation. We all know that, correct? Now here's my question. How many seeds do we sow? You might have heard somebody say, well, you know, brother, you got to sow once, because if you sow a second time, you're uprooting what you sowed the first time because you're in doubt, you're not in faith. Anybody ever hear anything like that? We used to hear that all the time. How many seeds do we sow? I got curious about that, and I decided to turn to nature. You know, I'm nature boy. And so, because nature is based on spirit. Everything in the natural realm has its origin in the spirit realm. It's all come from the spirit realm through God's creative force. How many seeds do you think a dandelion has? It's a weed. How many seeds do you think a dandelion has? As a child, you remember taking the dandelion and blowing it and all those seeds. And isn't it marvelous the way God created those seeds? I mean, not if you have a nice lawn, you don't want dandelions, but it's marvelous that it has its own little parachute and it just floats on the air and goes to your neighbor's yard. Just keep the fans going on your yard, blow all those seeds to your neighbor's yard. Or others, you know, the seeds that you walk through a field and you come back and you have all these little brown triangle things on your pants and they stuck to you like Velcro. Velcro was not an invention of 3M, it was an invention of God. He Velcroed those seeds to us. Or worse, you walk through a field and come back and you got all those brambles on it with all the little pointy things that you try to get them off and it pricks your finger and they stick to your pants, they stick to animals' fur. Ever try to get them out of your dog's fur? How many seeds? Well, what's the seediest thing that we consume? I decide to start low and end high, okay? Watermelon. How many seeds does watermelon have? Approximately 500 seeds. How many of you has sown the word of God 500 times yet? The promise of God. How many of you are sowing 500 seeds for a promise of God? How many of you considered doing that? 500 times, holding fast your confession of faith 500 times. That's the starting point. A banana. Did you know there are seeds in a banana? Did you ever think about the seeds in a banana? Banana has 1,000 seeds. Now, these are all average. 1,000 seeds in a banana. How about a pomegranate? Any of you enjoy pomegranates? It's all seed, isn't it? 1,300 seeds in a pomegranate. 1,300. And now we come to the dandelion. How many seeds do you think in a dandelion plant? Not just one, but the plant. 10,000. 10,000 once. 10,000 twice. Anybody going to go up from 10,000? Yeah, several heads. 7,500? Do I hear 7,500 once? 7,500 twice? No, actually, that's lower than 10,000. You got to go higher. We're not going backwards. What was it? 3,001? 10,001. Sold. Okay, take the basket over. He's going to put $10,001 in the basket. No, it's $15,000. A typical dandelion has 15,000. If your neighbor has like 15, 20 dandelions and the wind's blowing in your direction, better watch out. 15,000. But that's not, we're going more. The thistle, 120,000 in one thistle plant. 120,000. Now, I don't know if you all have palm trees in your yards, but you know it drops all those seeds. I couldn't find how many in a palm tree. But I'm curious. I'd like to know how many. But the top scale, the top end on the few that I researched, I love cattail. Y'all like cattail, you know they're in. And when I was a kid, I collected a bunch of them to put in my room because I really liked them. I didn't know you're supposed to treat them because those things explode when they dry out. And I had cattail seeds all over my room. They're kind of like dandelion, except more. The cattail. How many seeds do you think a cattail has? A lot. 220,000 seeds. All right. Now, as I mentioned, the natural realm comes out of the spirit realm. Do you believe that we are speaking the word enough? Do you believe we are sowing enough word seed into our lives, our community, or when we're in prayer for the promises of God? From that short list of seed-bearing plants, I think not. Now, I know that the fruit in the Garden of Eden was not an apple. Was not. We all know that. But for some reason, the myth is that it's an apple. An apple only has 5 seeds. I didn't want to use that in his example. But I could use it that way because it has a negative connotation. Yeah, just 5 seeds. Average. Some may have 6. Some may have 7, but average 5. So, I believe we are to be speaking the word of God 1,000 times more than we have ever done so. Because if God provided 15,000 seeds for a weed that none of us like, right? I mean, who wants dandelions in your yard? Unless you like to eat them in a garden. I've always heard dandelions are good in a salad. Anybody here eat dandelions in your salad? Do you pick them and eat them? If you ever want to come by my house, you know, and see any, just pull them up. They're all free. You don't have to pay for them. You can get them all free. I don't have that many, hardly any. And if we do, it's from a neighbor because we have some neighbors that the whole lawn is dandelions. So 15,000, a common weed. 220,000, a swamp plant, cattail. 120,000, a thistle. Not something that people desire or look for. But if in nature, each plant produces that many seeds, how can we be sowing the word of God 1 or 2 times and expecting a harvest? What farmer sows 1 or 2 seeds? You drive through the fields when they're planting and they have these tractors. Behind the tractor, they're pulling the planter, and the planter has these arms that stretch out, and they plant like 6 rows on each side at the same time. And they're just boom, 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 they're planting acres and acres. That's thousands and thousands of seeds. Why? Because they want a harvest. If we believe for a harvest, we shouldn't just be sowing one seed. The sower sows the word, Jesus said. So we sow and we keep sowing. The more we sow, the more we reap. This is what faith is. Faith is sowing and sowing and sowing. Faith is trusting for the pizza delivery to come. Faith is accessing the promises of God, even if we haven't seen the Lord. We do know the Lord, but trusting that when we pray and we ask in Jesus' name, we will have it delivered right to our door. That's faith. What faith is very, very simple. It's not complicated. It's not university-level thinking. It's simply trusting God and believing the promise in Jesus' name.
Hey, Pastor Frank here. I'm so glad you've been listening to Real Life Radio here on the Cross at 100.9 FM. And since I know you've been enjoying the messages, I thought maybe you'd like to know a little bit more. I'm going to do a message pretty soon just about my background and all of the ways that Jesus brought people across my path. I want to encourage you to share your faith with other people. And I want you also to think about how God used others to come to you and sow seeds in your heart, maybe even many times before you gave your life to Christ. It's exciting when we remember those things and know that the mercy and the blessing of God continually overtakes us and is always with us, for He's faithful. Now, if you would like to have more of these messages, you can watch our video presentations at our YouTube channel. And that's at reallifetv.net, www.reallifetv.net. And we have several hundred video messages there, and you can find just about every topic and subject imaginable. You can also visit our website, and some of those videos are linked to the website, and that's www.pastorfrank.com. That's pastorfrank.com. Also, if you would like to be in our live services, we have 4 live services every week. Sunday morning, 9:30, Sunday evening at 7, Tuesday evening at 7, and Thursday evening at 7. They're all distinct services, and they're online and live. Just go to www.amiraclechurch.com. That's amiraclechurch.com. And click on whichever day you'd like to be a part of the service. And we'd love to have you with us in an online church. We have about 11 or 12 states now that are in the online church. States as far away as Oregon and California, states like Massachusetts, Ohio, and Florida, as well as North and South Carolina, Maryland, D.C., Virginia. We have just a great, great online church, and we'd love for you to be a part of it. Well, until next time, start living that real life right now, because Jesus is alive and living big in each one of us. Well, I hope you enjoyed listening to Real Life Radio today. If you grab a piece of paper and pencil, I want to give you some information. First of all, Real Life Radio is produced and brought to you compliments of Real Life Church. We're not asking for any contributions, but we are asking one favor. The next time you visit beautiful Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, we'd love for you to stop into one of our services. We have service every Sunday morning, 9:30 a.m., and every Thursday evening at 7 p.m. Those are both in-person services located at 9644 North Kings Highway in Myrtle Beach, and that's on the corner of Lake Arrowhead Road. It's in a center called the Galleria. Now, both of these services are online as well as in-person, but we also have 2 other services totally online, Sunday evening at 7 p.m., and Tuesday evening at 7 p.m. All 4 online services are located at amiraclechurch.com. That's amiraclechurch.com. And even if you're not in Myrtle Beach, you can attend church with us. If you'd like more information, visit our church website, www.pastorfrank.com. That's pastorfrank.com. Real Life Radio is heard Monday through Friday at the same time on this same station, the Truth Network. God bless you, and start living that real life right now.